because our country is great if we probably have less people. Now, I'm pretty dumb. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I know that 1948 was when the United Nations made the Nation of Israel a nation again. So, in 1948, what about before that? How did we bless the Nation of Israel? Well, you know, you've got to figure that out. I know that God didn't call those people home, it's over there.
Sure.
If they had, they'd all went. You could probably go to Atlanta and find an apartment. But the way it is, it's probably dead. But I know that God didn't call them home, and God's not dealing with them today. So we want to look at the Abrahamic covenant. I started out here in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. And this is where they get it at. I know a lot of TV preachers are preaching that we want to have to report to everything. But really, until they come back there, if a true Israelite is living in Jerusalem today, how does he get to God? He gets to God the same way we do, doesn't he? He has to believe and trust that Christ died for his sins. Just like we did. We're not dealing with nationalities today. Everybody in the eyes of God are alive, are they not?
Yes.
So in Genesis chapter 12, here is where God deals with Abraham and gives him a covenant. And he tells him in verse 1, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kinsmen and from thy father's house, until land I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them," here it is, I will bless them and bless thee, and curse them and curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So what they do is they take this and they say, see, if we bless Israel, then God surely is going to bless us. And that's what he said. But what they're doing is they're forgetting about the age of grace. And most people don't know that there's a separation there between the law and grace. And then in Genesis 15 and verse 8, "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying unto thy seed have I given the land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river of Euphrates." So God told Abram that he was going to give him the land. So that was one promise that Abraham had, and we'll look at that later on. Abraham's seed has a promise of a land promise. And you've got to remember that. And when you look at this land, you've got to ask yourself, do we have a land promise? The answer is no. We have a heavenly promise, do we not? Sure we do. So you've got a big difference here, and that's what that is. Now look at Genesis 17 and verse 7. "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generation for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." So how long is this covenant going to last? It's an everlasting covenant, is it not? So when people read this in the Old Testament, they automatically assume that they're part of that covenant. They believe that they're part of that covenant. And that's what's being taught, and I know that I used to listen to a lot of prophecy preachers, and back in the early 80s, and guess what they were preaching back then? Now, if you turned on your computer lately and got on there and read some of that stuff, they've got all kind of dates. The calendar is going on out in 2012. The rapture is going to take place in, I think it's May 31st, 2011. Now, that's on there. And people believe in that. The only problem is, in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." The only problem is nobody knows when that's going to happen. The church has to be gone before anything like that can happen, does it not?
Sure it does. Right.
It has to be gone. So, in my lifetime, I don't believe I'm going to see it, but it could happen at any moment because it's a mystery. No one knows today. Now, Jesus told them in Matthew 23, verse 39, they asked him when he's coming back. And he said very plainly that you shall not see me henceforth until you say, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." So when the nation of Israel realizes that he is their Messiah, their king, then the second coming is going to happen. But not until then. And he's not talking about the rapture. So we can see that very plainly. Some examples, I'll give you some examples of how God blessed the Gentiles. Now, before the age of grace started, a Gentile could get to God. How could he get to God? How could a Gentile get to God? Through the nation of Israel. I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. So a Gentile could get to God by blessing Israel. Very plain. And that God dealt with that one nation only. He didn't deal with Gentile people. He set them aside, did he not? Sure he did. Now, turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Here's just an example of how a Gentile, under the law, got blessed. In Luke chapter 7, verse 2, "And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant." Now see, the centurion, who is he? He's a Gentile. Okay. But he wants him to send and bring Jesus to heal his servant because he's about to die. So they go get him, and what do they tell him? And when they came, verse 4, "And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this." In other words, the centurion had been helping the nation of Israel with what he did. "For he loveth our nation, and he has built a synagogue." So there's an example of a Gentile coming to God through the nation by helping them. And then in verse 9, "And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found some great faith, no, not at all." So what did Jesus do? He healed his servant. And he did that because this Gentile had helped the nation of Israel. So there's one example. And of course, another example would be Rahab the harlot. She was a Gentile. And when the spies went in to spy out the city of Jericho, what happened? She knew Abraham had come. She knew that. And because of that, she helped those spies. And she was blessed because of that. Look at Joshua 2:14. And all the men answered her, "Our life for yours. If you utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will build kindly and truly with thee." So there's a Gentile woman that was blessed because she helped Israel. So throughout the scripture you're going to find this, and the whole point of the whole thing is that a Gentile had to go through that nation to get to God at one time. We had no hope. We were without God in the world. I believe that's what it says over in Ephesians chapter 2, does it not? Now, I'll give you another example. Of course, everyone knows this. If you've been in Grace Church for very long, you hear Matthew 15 preached many times. In Matthew 15, verse 22, we're talking about a woman of Canaanite. And it says, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.'" Who did she call him? Did she know he was Lord? Sure she did. Yeah. Did she know about the Abraham covenant? Evidently she did. Yeah. Because she knew that he was the son of David. Mm-hmm. And what did he do? "But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cried at the end.' So he answered and said, 'I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" There's a verse in the Bible that ought to tell you who Jesus was sent to.
That's right.
I mean, if you don't have that mark and you haven't heard that read 100 times, then you need to mark that and know that. Jesus was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He never was sent to the Gentile. Now, you've got to get this in your head that if you were living back during that day, why, he wouldn't talk to you. He wouldn't talk to you. He didn't know you because he wasn't sent to you. And he said, "True, Lord," yet we're talking about here what she knew. In verse 27, and she said, "True, Lord, yet the dog eats the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto you even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So here you have another Gentile woman getting her request fulfilled because she recognized who he was and who he was sent to. Knowing that she was a dog. In the eyes of God, at one time, we were considered dogs. And I don't know whether you know it or not, but a dog is a very unclean animal. And that's what we were. We were unclean in the eyes of God. And we had no hope. Now, one of these days, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, at the end of the tribulation period, and he sits upon his throne, guess what he's going to do? He's going to call all nations before him, and he's going to set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. And he's going to call those nations before him, and guess who's going to get to go into the kingdom? We're talking about Gentile nations. Gentile nations are going to go into the kingdom with him. And if you'll see that and understand what Jesus is talking about earlier, have you ever wondered, you know, people talk about this and they say, well, how in the world could the Bible, how in the world could Jesus ever meant what he said when he said at the right hand of him, they cut it off? How could he ever mean that? And if the right eye of him, they pluck it out. Well, you know that Jesus Christ wouldn't say that. Well, see, the words on the page mean what they say.
Yes, amen.
They mean what they say to who they say it to. Now, at the judgment of the nations, what's going to happen? There's going to be some people going into that kingdom with one arm. There's going to be some people going into that kingdom on earth with one eye. But are you not proud that one day when you leave this earth, you're going to be whole again? There's a difference. And he meant what he said. And that's literally what they're going to have to do. But how does these Gentile nations get into the kingdom? Well, look at Matthew 25, I'll read verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. He's going to sit upon that throne, and he's going to call all nations before him and set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. So all you guys on this side, okay?
What?
A bunch over here. In deep trouble, I'll tell you that. In fact, if I look over the crowd, I know some of them. But verse 40 says how to get into the kingdom. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. See what he said? He said, if you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, who's he talking about? Israel. He's talking about Israel, his brethren. He's done it unto me. And they're the ones that get to go into the kingdom. The Gentile nations get to go into the kingdom. What about the guys on the left side? Verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, unto everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Did you know who the Lord prepared hell for?
Yeah,
his angels. Those angels that fell. But guess what? When mankind fell and became a sinner, that's where they got to go also. And the only way to avoid that is through the provision that God has made through Jesus Christ. What he did for you on the cross. And that's the only way you can avoid that. Do you realize what you have to do to go to hell?
Not a thing.
Absolutely not. Be born, live a little long, die. And you'll split hell wide open. And that's of God's truth. That's not a true picture. But that's who he prepared you for. An example of being cursed. You remember, he said, bless them, bless me, and curse them, and curse me. Well, here's an example of being, them being cursed, 1 Samuel 17:45. We're talking about the Philistines, the giant. And look what David tells them. Then said David to the Philistines, thou comest unto me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the Lord of hosts, the God of all armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. So David was able to defeat the Philistines because they defiled the nation of Israel. And that's exactly what they did. I'll bless them, bless thee, and curse thee, and curse thee. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11. I want to look at that now. I want to look at Galatians chapter 3. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? They stumbled that the stumbling stone, did they not? Surely they did. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. There you go. That's when all this stuff changed. They stumbled that the stumbling stone, and they failed. And God's not dealing with them anymore. In verse 25, it says that, for I would not let them to be eaten. When I read, Paul said that 3 or 4 times in his writing about being eaten. Somebody asked me, had I ever been baptized in the water? And I know some of you are holier than thou. And never have. But that's that. You shouldn't be. Did you know why I got baptized one day after I got saved? In fact, I got saved Sunday morning and got baptized Sunday night. Do you realize why that happened to me? I was eating. Didn't know no better. I had no concept of nothing. The only thing I knew was that Christ died for my sin. I didn't know nothing else. Well, if they told me I need to speak in tongues, I would go to the Lord and I'd go to the Lord. I would love it. Because they told me to. I know you guys never get a reason to listen to your preacher very much. Probably never done nothing that you shouldn't have done. Just because the preacher told you to. You know, I used to go on visitation, and I still do when I get an opportunity to. And we always had, in the Baptist church, we had visitation on Thursday night. Anybody ever done that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Thursday night I showed up and went along with that. But really and truly, why I went was because the preacher told me to. You think I'm going to get a reward one day for that? Mm-hmm. Probably not. And I'm not telling you not to listen to your preacher, God forbid. But see, if you, really and truly, what you need to do. To check him out with the scripture. That's what you got to do. You know, that's why you fall in the long scripture. I'm not a very good speaker, but I'm a very good listener. And when I hear a preacher say something contrary to the Word of God, I know it. That's what studying the Bible or the new prophet, you want to know what's going on. And then you won't be swayed by every wind of doctrine. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Now people will read that. They say, okay, everybody's the same. So a woman or a man is free. I don't know, I just throw that in.
I just threw that in there.
Remember, we all was right. But you know, verse 29, what people really get. And if you be in Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. Well, Romans chapter 4 tells you what? If you're Abraham's seed by faith. That's what it says. So you're Abraham's seed. In heirs according to the promise. Now, as dumb as I am, I know that word promise don't have it. So how many promises did Abraham have to you?
One.
But when people read that, they want to claim all the blessings that God gave Israel, but they forget about the curses that God can give Israel. You know, Leviticus 26, list a whole bunch of Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. If they didn't do what God told them to do, well, all these curses are going to be put upon them. So, there's one promise that God gave Abraham, at least. You remember what he told him, that he's going to inherit the land? Well, guess what Abraham's going to do about that? Abraham is going to be born again. Is he not going to stand upon this earth like old Job? Old Job said, in my flesh, I shall see God. What's wrong with Abraham doing the same way? In his flesh, he's going to inherit the earth just like God promised him. And if you want to know what being born again is, that's exactly what he's talking about. All you got to do is read Ezekiel 36 and 37, and you can see very plainly that's what he's talking about. He's talking about them literally and physically coming up out of that desert and being physically and literally born again. To inherit the land. Today, we have access to God. We have the blessings of God, not about the earth, because we're going to leave the earth one day and we're going to inherit the heaven. Ephesians 2 and verse 13 says, but now. Mm-hmm. But now, what? Now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So today Israel is not the channel of blessing. That's not going on today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we all know this verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places place. Theirs are a problem. It's not an earthly problem. It's not a land problem. It's not a bunch of promises about being blessed if we do this or don't do this. Because he's already did it all for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now think about it. He did it all for us. And today, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us and far exceedingly in eternal ways of glory. It's a light affliction that we have today. We're talking about getting old. It's a rough thing to get old. I can tell you that right now. I had more problems in my life. 10 years. Back before that, I hardly ever got sick. Never been to a doctor or nothing. But buddy, the minute I hit 65, I fell apart. Don't tell me you guys out there are pretty close to that age or in that age. Don't do that. But we have a promise that we're going to inherit the heaven from that. Think about it. We have that promise. So, today, if there's any out there today that have not trusted or believed what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross for them, and today is the day. He died for our sins. I like this part here. You know, for the first thing, he said that he was buried. But you know what happens when you get buried? You get out of sight. You're out of sight when you get buried. Nobody sees you anymore. And you know what he did with our sins? He was buried. Cutting our sins away.
Amen.
And the third day, he rose again for our justification. Now, if you truly believe and trust in that, one of these days, you're going to leave this earth. Okay, I appreciate the opportunity.